But I believe God has something for us today. Would you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12? Proverbs chapter 12. We appreciate your prayers as we traveled across the country. We were home last Sunday, but exhausted. So I trust you'll forgive us for going to whatever you want to call it, Bedside Baptist or Church of St. Mattress or whatever you want to call it. But we were resting last week and we did watch online. And Pastor Randall did an outstanding job and I was very thankful. Proverbs chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. Would you stand, please, as we read God's word together this morning? Proverbs 12, beginning with verse 1. To learn, you must have discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. The Lord approves of those who are good, but he condemns those who plan wickedness. Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots. Deep roots. But to learn, you must love discipline. And it is stupid to hate correction. May God's word be enriched in your lives today. You may be seated. Does anyone enjoy discipline? Anybody here just love it, enjoy it? I've never really met anyone who loves it. And thoroughly enjoys it. I think I have told that in high school there was a group of us that had a contest one year to see who could get the most paddlings in a school year. I'm not sure the point of that because the coach who administered the paddlings had a paddle that was about yay long and he had drilled holes in it. So when he came across your backside with that thing, it raised welts when he would hit you with it. And let me just go and say, it hurt for the moment, but we kept going back for more. I don't know what that was about. But discipline. And then there's the matter of self-discipline. There's one that I struggle with when it comes to eating cornbread and biscuits. We went to the Ark last night with our kids and grandkids, and they brought the hush puppies out before the meal, and I was already hungry. I hadn't had much to eat. And so guess what I did? I just kept eating hush puppies. I ate hush puppies and I ate hush puppies and I ate. And they're not those little bitty tiny hush puppies. They're hush puppy. I mean, and they're good. So I struggled a little bit with my self-discipline last night. So I'm telling on myself. Friends, the toughest person to ever lead is always yourself. Several years ago, our son was maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that age, I forget exactly. And on the on a Saturday, Rachel and I had lunch with John Maxwell, and so he had given me some stuff, and I had a CD in, and Brent and I were riding down the road and listening to a good CD on leadership and how to be someone who was a strong leader. And the CD finished, and I turned everything off, and I said, Brent, when you grow up, do you want to be a leader or do you want to be a follower? I thought that was an appropriate question for someone his age, and so he just was silent. He didn't say a word. He did not respond. And I'm thinking, okay, the whole thing just kind of went over his head. I just let it sit there. I didn't say anything else. I just kept driving. And we rode for probably 15 minutes in absolute silence. And he said, Dad, I have the answer to your question. I said, okay, fire away. He said, I want to be both. I said, all right, explain. He said, I want to lead people to Jesus as I follow Jesus. Whoa. I didn't expect that kind of answer out of him. It kind of floored me for just a moment, and I said, son, you just put me under conviction. I wasn't thinking that deep, and you just went somewhere that is so true. In the context of that, someone once asked John Maxwell, what has been your greatest challenge as a leader? And his answer was, leading me. Leading me. Now, every one of us in this room, I trust, have the mindset and the heart of what Brent expressed, that we want to lead others to Jesus as we follow Jesus. So every one of us should look at ourselves as leaders. Because I've told you before, and I'll mention it again, the average person will influence 10,000 people during your lifetime. That's average. Some will influence more, depending on your job, depending on where you are, you will influence more than that. 10,000 is the average. So every one of us are leaders in this room. So we may think of accomplished leaders and think they have had it all together. But if we really closely examined their lives, we would see that they too struggled with leading themselves. I'm reminded of the little Pogo comic strip. Anybody ever read the comics? My favorite part of the paper, especially a Sunday newspaper when they're in color. Oh my, that was the favorite thing that I ever looked at. I looked forward to that. That was the first page I would read, was the comics. You can tell I was a real deep reader and still am. I love the comics. But Pogo writer Walt Kelly said, we have met the enemy and he is us. Isn't that pretty much true? That's the way we have to deal with it. Most of the great leadership lessons that I've ever learned in life have not come from a textbook or listening to some lesson or to some teacher, but rather from personal failure. Do we enjoy failure in our life? Is that something we look forward to? Buddy, we messed up that time. Anybody just say, sign me up to fail? But we learn there. We learn there. But why is it that we struggle the most with leading self? One, we don't see ourselves as we see others. Human ability, human nature seems to provide us with the ability to size everyone else up in the world except ourselves. Anybody a people watcher? I've known people that love to just sit around and just watch people. Just watch people. And you watch them. Rachel, would you mind handing me that bottle of water sitting over there, please? This medicine is about to, it's right on the other side of my suitcase. I love to just sit and watch people. I look at them and kind of think, yep, I've sized them up. I can tell you their life story. And it usually surprises me. I was walking through Walmart Wednesday afternoon in Irondale. And I'm walking along trying to find a line to get into with the stuff that I had. I was in a hurry. It was almost church time. And there was a lady walking along with me. And we were trying to find a good line to get into. And I just commented offhand, you know, I remember when Walmart made the promise, if there's more than three people in line, they'll open a new register. Anybody remember that promise from Walmart? Yeah. Doesn't seem to be true any longer. But I made that comment, and she and I struck up a conversation, and we ended up talking for about 15 minutes. But I thought I had sized her up and thought I had figured her out just by watching her and just the way she was acting and looking, and I thought I had her figured out. Boy, was I wrong. We ended up having a wonderful conversation. I thought we were going to end up praying for each other right there in the middle of Walmart. She is a teacher who teaches middle school children. And she ended up talking to me about the mental health problems that COVID isolation is causing for these kids. And the pain emotionally that they are suffering. If you think about it, pray for this teacher. She was in anguish. She almost started weeping in the middle of Walmart telling me the stories of some of these kids. But we'd look at other people and go, yep, that's them. And we can look at them. But how many times do we stop and look in the mirror and go, what about this one? And second, we're harder on others than we are ourselves. You see, we use two different criteria for judging. We judge others according to their actions. We judge ourselves according to the intent of our heart. Ever how it comes out, ever how it ends up, we don't judge ourselves by what we actually did or said. It's what we meant to say or do. Are you with me? So what are some keys to leading ourselves? I'm going to offer you four suggestions. Number one, learn followership. I'm not sure that's even a word, but we'll offer it as one. Followership. Bishop Fulton Sheen said, civilization is always in danger when those who have never learned to obey are given the right to command. In other words, Only a leader who has followed well can really know how to lead others well. You didn't know you were going to come to church to get a leadership lesson today, did you? But there is spiritual application to this. Good leadership requires an understanding of how to follow. So before you lead that other person, you need to make sure you are following as you should. Second, develop self-discipline. Author John Foster said, "A man without decision of character can never be said to really belong to himself. He belongs to whatever can make a captive of him." Whatever we do that captivates us, and it so closes us in that we lose everything around us. Have you ever watched some of these kids play their little video games that they carry with them? They are so into that game, they lose everything else around them. You can call their name. You can say whatever you want. They don't hear you. In fact, there are adults that get so captivated by their cell phone playing Candy Crush or whatever the current game is. They get so caught in that they lose everything else around them. And it's so easy for us to not have the self-discipline we need in order to prioritize our spiritual walk with Jesus. And by the time we get up in the morning and think, "Oh, I'm going to have my devotions." And we get up in the morning and we think, "Oh, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to do this. And then we get caught up in that. Then there's something else, and there's something else, there's something else. And by the end of the day, we think, "Well, I'll have my devotions and prayer time tonight before I go to bed." And by the end of the day, we're so exhausted, we fall into bed worn out, and we haven't spent a minute in God's Word that day. I do it. It happens to me. I'm just going to have open confession time here. And I figure if it happens to me, it probably happens with you too. Self-discipline. When we're foolish, we want to conquer the world. When we're wise, we want to conquer ourselves. There's a huge difference. Number three, practice patience. Most leaders I know tend to be impatient people. They look ahead, they think ahead, want to move ahead. That can be good if you're one step ahead, you're a leader. But if you're 50 steps ahead, you're a martyr. It just works that way. Very few worthwhile things in life come quickly and without effort. If something happens fast, it's usually just going to be a flash and it's over. Fireworks are so much fun. They cost a lot of money. You set them on fire, they explode. Oh, look, it's beautiful. Lights in the sky that twinkle and flash, and it's over in a few seconds. And And then you've got to try to figure out where all the litter is and pick it up and hope that an ember doesn't land on someone's roof and catch it on fire. It's over that quick. We need to understand patience in working with people. And trying to lead someone to Jesus. Many of us grew up in church all of our life. If we didn't, it took time for someone to invest. And even if we have been in church all of our life, from the time we were an infant on up, there was still an investment that someone made over years of time that brought it to the place where you were. So we have to understand patience. Was God patient with you? Yes. And I sure am glad. But we talk to someone about Jesus and we want them to come to Christ and give their heart to Him right now. Do it this minute. John Wesley said for him it took an average of 2 years to really even begin to talk to someone about Jesus. And in the American culture, we think, oh my, we've got it. We want microwave Christians. We want microwave everything. But let's be honest. Do you want every meal that you eat out of the microwave? Mm-mm. There's some stuff that you want to eat out of the crock pot. Oh, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, we were starting into a church plant and we were attending there, and it was in a big old house, and the pastor and his wife lived upstairs, and the kitchen though was in the back of the house, and we would sit up out in the living room and great room area of that big old house, and she would be cooking lunch. And we had to sit there listening to a long-winded preacher while we smelled the roast and carrots and potatoes cooking in the big old pot in the oven. Oh, it was horrible. It was cruel. I complained to him and her. So they started inviting me to stay for lunch. But we need to understand it takes patience to lead others. Number four, this is a big one. Be accountable. People who lead themselves very well know a secret. They can't trust themselves. Seems like every week I'm reading of another pastor who's had moral failure. Another pastor who came out and admitted alcoholism or drug addiction. There's something else. And I want you to know something. I'm not above failure. And I know it. I talk with someone every single week who asks me, are you staying pure? Friends, that's a big question. And I know that I have to give an answer to this man every single week. But I not only have to give an answer to him, I have to give an answer to her. But beyond that, I know I have to give an answer to God. But friends, it's mighty good for us to have accountability with one another. If you've never looked up and read the questions that John Wesley used in his accountability groups, you need to Google that and look it up. First of all, John Wesley would laugh probably if he heard the word Google. That is a funny word, isn't it? Look up those questions and read them. And understand that men and women had to answer those questions every single week. And ask yourself, would you want to publicly, in a small group, answer those questions every week? Honestly, it might not be bad for us. But we do need to have accountability somewhere with someone. We need that accountability to learn, to grow, to keep us in line with what God has for us. Leading ourselves means that we actually hold ourselves to a higher standard of accountability than others do. People used to think that leadership meant that you were up here on top of this pyramid and everything else answered to you. In fact, it's right the opposite. As a leader, you answer to everything around you. You're accountable to it all. Friends, the most important crowd that you'll ever lead. It'll be wonderful to lead someone else to Jesus and to have your life influence someone else to the kingdom of God. But the greatest thing you'll ever do is to lead yourself well as a child of God. To seek to answer to God early in ministry, I struggled with so many different things. I fought accountability. I thought, I don't need that. I can make it on my own. And it didn't work. I'm glad that I've learned accountability. But friends, you need it in your life too. These are some things that are just practical. I was trying to figure out what direction to go today, and this maybe is not something you jump up and down and shout about, But when I saw my notes, this was actually for a group that I was leading of leaders. It wasn't a sermon. It's really not a sermon. I trust that it's a message today, though, that speaks to us. The amazing thing that I've learned over the years about God is He's always faithful at the right time. And maybe this was for one person. Maybe it was for one. Maybe it's for someone that's not even here. Maybe it's for someone that's watching or someone that will watch. But maybe it's for you. Maybe it's a reminder for me. But I want to tell you this morning that I join with the sentiment and the words that my son said those 30, close to 30 years ago. I want to be a leader and a follower. I want to lead others to Jesus as I follow Him. Will you join me in that endeavor? Let's be followers and leaders. Almighty God, thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit working in every moment. God, thank You for bringing us together today, whether here in person or online. And I pray that Your truth, Your message, Your thoughts will be used in the right way to speak to the right person, to challenge them in their walk with You. May we follow You to the best of our ability, and may, God, You count on us to lead those around us to a relationship with Jesus. We pray in the powerful, matchless, wonderful name of Your Son. Amen. Amen.